Bordeaux is home to some of the most famous wines in the world, Carmela.
Wow.
Yeah, but the real question is, can you find wines from Bordeaux that are good and reasonably priced?
Well, I bet you did.
You're right. So we're here to answer that today and talk about what the big deal about Bordeaux wines is anyway.
All right.
Let's do it. Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of a reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
Woo!
Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about taste and give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 each, and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people who want to learn more about wine, or find new wines to enjoy, and just want someone to talk about wine in a fun way that regular people can understand.
Okay.
So if that sounds like you, you are in the right place.
For sure.
And we are proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining.
All right.
Carmela, today we are trying something new.
Okay.
And I'll admit it's a little bit of a stretch for us.
Hmm.
Because today we're talking about Bordeaux wine.
Okay, well, I don't think anything's ever a stretch for us.
Well, Bordeaux kind of is.
What?
And not just any Bordeaux, but Bordeaux bargains.
Ah.
And by Bordeaux bargains, we mean wines from Bordeaux, France. Or France.
Nice. Are we going to France?
We are not yet, but maybe someday.
Okay.
And that means, when we say Bordeaux bargains, we mean they're highly rated and under $20. That's where the name comes from. Okay?
Perfect.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
That's what I mean. And I say this is a stretch for us for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is that we tend not to be huge fans of Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot.
True.
And Bordeaux wines, after all, are generally blends of one or both of those wines, plus some other stuff sometimes.
True.
It just depends. So there's that.
Okay.
And then the second reason it's a stretch is because I call this episode Bordeaux Bargains Number One.
Oh, no.
So that means I'm taking that chance that there will be more of these episodes and this won't be a total disaster.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm setting us
up. So this is a stretch. We're not doing it just once.
Yes. Well, that's what I hope. Because if you put number one by something, there better be a number two.
Maybe you don't put the one until you know there's going to be a two.
I just felt like...
do you ever say first annual?
Some people do.
They do?
Usually
it's not until... It's
second annual.
I don't know.
But sometimes you do.
Okay.
You think it's worth the risk?
I'm going to leave that one up to you.
Okay.
And I mean, considering you write the script, I don't know if I have much say in it.
That's true. It will be in the show notes. Okay.
Oh,
this is also the second week in a row that we are tasting and reviewing French wines, which is also kind of unusual for us.
Right.
And you know, are you curious as to why?
I mean, are we going to France?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
But are you, but that is a good
Am I curious why? I don't know. Are you turning French on
I don't
me?
Know. Well,
Do
I,
you
I,
know why you're doing this?
Okay. Well, part of it is because French wines can be confusing to a lot of people. And I think it's fun to learn more about them in general.
What makes you think that they are confusing to a lot of people?
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But the main reason, especially Bordeaux being confusing, is because it's hard to tell what grapes are actually in the wine. But we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
The second reason is because although I don't love Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, I generally think that's because we tend to drink the American versions of those wines.
California versions.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the American or California versions of those wines, as opposed to the old world versions in France, are overly oaked and overly tannic and overly bold. They're just kind of too much.
Right, right.
But the more mellow and refined and more food friendly and I think more enjoyable French versions, that's what we're trying.
They come from France.
Oddly enough, they do.
They're the original.
That's right. They're the French wines from France.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And as we've said many times, European wines tend to be wines that we expect to drink with food, while a lot of times, like California wines and other American wines...
just want to get drunk.
Yeah, they're kind of... they are called sometimes cocktail wines, and I didn't make that up. Like... Huh. Winemakers we've talked to have said that exactly. And that means wines that are meant or expect to be, you know, you can just consume them on their own.
Right.
Which I think is why they can get away with being overpowering at times.
Sure.
Like people
want, you know, like a meal in a glass. They want to drink their dinner.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
Or just hang out at the bar and just be like, I'm drinking.
Pounding wine.
That's right.
Do people pound wine?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so the other reason why I think this could be really fun is because French wines, especially those from Bordeaux and Burgundy, are among the most expensive wines in the world. And so finding a bargain in those wines, which we...
Tough to do.
Tough to do. And we kind of try and do that in our high QPR Pinot Noir episodes. Mm. And remember, Burgundy wines are made of Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. And finding bargains, especially in expensive wine regions, that's kind of our go-to. We like that. That's important to us.
Yes.
So these Bordeaux bargain episodes, if they survive this first try...
Oh my God, you've already set us up
to believe everybody else to think that.
Right?
I know.
Okay.
They're actually the perfect topic for our podcast because... As we say in every intro, this is an opportunity for us to learn about wines, find great wines at a reasonable price, and discover new wines to enjoy. I mean, what else do you want?
Exactly. I mean, we're living up to our intro.
We say we're going
to
do it.
We're trying. We're trying to. We're doing our best.
We're going to do it. So on that note, I think it's time to learn a little bit more about what Bordeaux wines are all about. And then we have three Bordeaux wines that we're going to taste and review. But first...
You got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So we want to thank you very much for listening to us and for supporting our show. And if you have not had the chance to do so yet, now would be a great time to subscribe to our podcast. And a real special shout out to those of you who have subscribed already. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And another great way to support us is to leave a nice rating and review. You can do that on our website. You can do it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or other podcast service. And a good rating helps us to grow listeners.
Love it.
Love it. And you can also follow us and see pictures of the wines we're tasting and trying today, and also weird AI pictures that I'm creating on Instagram.
For sure.
Yeah, they're weird. At the Wine Pair Podcast. Actually, the one today, the woman had three arms.
So weird.
It's very weird. And you can contact us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can sign up for our email newsletter there. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast.
Who could it be?
And this week, we want you to tell anyone who loves Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot.
Because I bet we've done that before.
We probably have, but I'm just saying again.
Are we doubling down on those people?
We kind of are, because those are the grapes you find in Bordeaux blends. And you tell them, you tell those people, you say, hey, you should listen
to this. If you haven't listened to them yet, if I haven't said this to you before.
This is a perfect time to listen to them.
Right.
Because they're talking about wines that you care about.
Mm.
How about that?
I love it.
So, Carmela, let's spend a little bit of time on just what the F wines from Bordeaux are. And more properly, again, we should call them Bordeaux blends, really. We should call them Bordeaux blends.
Right.
And then we did talk about this in Minisode number 7, which is a primer, not a primer, but a primer on red wine blends. But it's worth covering this again very briefly.
Okay.
When you see the term red wine blend, just know that there are generally, and I mean this very generally, kind of two types of blends that, again, generally red wine blends fall into, and they're both from France. So the first is the one we're trying today, which is the Bordeaux blend. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be Merlot and Cabernet based. And then the other red wine blend is the GSM blend, also known as the Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre, GSM blend. And sometimes it's also known as the Rhone style blend or Rhone blend because it comes from the Rhone Valley in France.
Duh.
There you go. Duh. So just note too that that Bordeaux style blends in other countries often go by different names. For example, you might see Claret or Claret, it looks like, and Meritage. Those are just different names for Bordeaux style blends.
Okay.
But a lot of times you'll just see red wine blend and you'll be like, what is in the red wine blend?
Right, because it won't tell you.
It won't tell you. And I will say a Bordeaux style blend and a GSM blend are pretty different from each other. I find them pretty different from each other.
Hmm.
But those are the two red wine blends, and they're kind of, they're the two classic red wine blends. And you will find them most of the time when you see red wine blends. So, okay. So Bordeaux red wines are generally always blends, as I say, although there are some exceptional exceptions.
Okay.
Exceptional exceptions. Hmm. Like Chateau Petrus from Pomerol, which is made only from Merlot.
Oh, wow.
And that's a very famous...
So it can't be a blend.
Well, it's not a blend. It could be a blend, but it's not a blend.
No, because it's only made from one.
You're right. But they could decide to change their mind.
I guess, but that would be a different wine.
You are correct.
I'm just guessing here.
Yeah, it's a good guess.
Okay.
Good. Okay, but most of the time, Bordeaux red wines are made from what are called the one or several of the five noble grapes, and the noble grapes are Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot.
Mm.
Now, in Bordeaux red wines, they will have, again, at least one of these grapes and usually several. Although, again, the tricky part is that it's often really hard to figure out what grapes are in the blend just from the name on the bottle. Mm. Like you kind of, this is what makes it really hard. You kind of got to just start learning and memorizing stuff. And that's why French wines can be really tricky.
Mm-hmm. And some people, do you think they can just tell by drinking it? They can guess.
Yeah, I think they know. I don't think they're guessing. I think they know. So
how would they know?
Because they'll know it from a few things. They'll know it from the name of the chateau or the where the wine is from. So they'll know that. They can also tell it very often from the region of... So like today, there's a couple of specific regions in Bordeaux or sub-appellations that we're going to drink wine from. And knowing those regions, again, you kind of have to know the regions. That's how you know most of the time what kinds of grapes are in them. So let me get to that.
Okay.
So now if we're talking about like, so again, in France and Italy and Spain, wines are very often named not by the grape, but by the region. French takes it a step further because a lot of times it's also even by the chateau. Most of the time, it's easy to tell Burgundy though. Like Burgundy is generally Pinot Noir. Like a red Burgundy wine is going to be Pinot Noir.
Okay.
But it's often hard to know what's in a Bordeaux wine unless you know, or you get lucky because they put it on, they put the grapes on the bottle.
Hmm, now, but that's not that common.
It's not very common at all. So I'm not going to go in a ton of detail here. And there are some really good links and helpful articles in our show notes, which Carmela, we have show notes.
Is that new?
No, it's not new. But if you go to our website and you find this episode and you click on it and you scroll down and you click on our show notes, you'll see the links and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
But the wines that I've chosen for today, I've selected not just because they have some good ratings and are reasonably priced, but because they are more Merlot focused or Merlot heavy blends.
Oh.
And that is based on the area that they're from. And for my taste, I kind of like Merlot blends better because I find those wines, or Merlot focused blends better because I find those wines to be a bit smoother, a little silkier, a little rounder than Cabernet Sauvignon heavy blends, which we often call punch you in the face wines.
Right. No. Not very subtle or...
Not very subtle. No. So now in Bordeaux, there's a large river that runs through the area and the wines are often classified or divided between left bank and right bank, depending on which side of the river they're on. How about that?
Makes sense.
Okay, now right bank red wines are more often Merlot focused, which means that they make up about 60% of the grapes and are often blended with Cabernet Franc. Now, left bank red wines are more often Cabernet Sauvignon heavy and have blends of the more of the other noble grapes. But again, you kind of got to just memorize the regions or the chateaus to really know what that means. Because you're also not going to find a bottle of wine that says left bank or right bank on it most often. I also do keep talking about red blends because there are also white blends in Bordeaux, but that's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to your point, to your question, Carmela, today we're drinking a couple of wines from the Haut Médoc region of Bordeaux. Now, it doesn't look like Haut Médoc. I kind of looked up how to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelled Haut-Medoc, Haut Médoc.
Oh, wow.
And that shouldn't be confused with the other close region just with the name Médoc. Haut Médoc is on the left.
I know. Joke.
No, it's not a Médoc joke. Okay. But Haut Médoc is on the left bank, and it's considered a pretty prestigious region with famous wines like Chateau Lafite Rothschild, Chateau Margaux, Chateau Mouton Rothschild wines from those regions. And they're usually pretty even blends in the Haut Médoc region of Cabernet and Merlot.
Ah.
They're almost 50-50 or close to that.
Hmm.
So Haut Médoc, even though it's a left bank wine, which tend to be more Cabernet heavy, it's a good blend of Merlot. So for me, I think we're going to like Haut Médoc wines.
Okay.
Now we're also drinking a wine from the Grave region of Bordeaux. Grave looks like graves, but because it's French, you say Grave.
Nice.
And the specific wine we're drinking comes from a commune near the city of Langon, which is really relatively close to the city of Bordeaux itself. And Grave is also considered to be part of the left bank. And this area is mostly well known for the pricey sweet wine called Sauterne.
Mm.
But Grave is also considered the birthplace of Claret or Claret, which is the name that the British gave to Bordeaux blends. And it's said that in 1152, In 1152,
wow.
Wine from Grave was first exported to England, and the English royalty like kind of went nuts. They're like, we like this stuff. And so wines from Grave have a long history of being sent over to the English, and the English really loving it and loving French wines and Bordeaux wines. Mm. And in fact, Grave has been making wines evidently since the Roman times.
Oh
my
goodness.
This is a very,
very
long,
old wine.
That's right. That's right. And like Omadoc, The wines from Grave are a pretty even blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, but they also have other grapes like Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec sometimes blended in.
Mm.
So we can talk, and it's still a lot, but we can talk more about Bordeaux in future episodes on this topic of Bordeaux bargains, assuming that we actually make it past this episode,
right.
And there are
right.
more of them. Because there's a ton to talk about in Bordeaux. It's really complex, I think it would be fun to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm a nerd, but I think it's fun to learn about it.
I think that's both. You're a nerd, and it's fun to learn about it.
But I think we should talk about the wines that we're going to taste and review for this episode, Carmella.
Okay.
What do you say?
Let's do it.
Okay. So as usual, all the wines we've chosen for this episode are under $20, and all of them should be relatively easy to find because I bought them all at wine.com.
Oh, perfect.
Now, I will say that Bordeaux wines are generally not hard to find.
Mm.
These specific Bordeaux wines may be a little bit harder to find, but, you know, they're on wine.com, so they are exported. And I did find that a lot of these wines, if you're on the East Coast, you may be, like, especially like New York, you may be able to find these pretty easily in a local, like, wine shop.
Mm.
But any decent wine shop or a wine or a store with a good wine selection will have Bordeaux wines. And again, the tricky part is finding good Bordeaux wines that are reasonably priced, because the Bordeaux wines with the best reputations and really high ratings, like 100-point ratings, are very, very, very expensive.
Right.
Like a good Chateau Lafite Rothschild or a Chateau Petrus is going to set you back thousands of dollars.
Oh.
And we don't play that game.
No.
We don't do that.
No, thank you.
No way. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, all these wines are under $20.
Oh, my God.
And all of them had ratings in the 90s.
That's amazing. Now, does any bottle of wine that's like thousands of dollars have like a terrible rating?
Well, not terrible, but sometimes you will see wines that are very expensive.
Does
with
that
like,
must just ruin the sales.
Well, I think it
all of a sudden, I'm giving that one a 75.
I mean,
you bring up
an interesting point. I think sometimes they may ask them not to release the ratings if the ratings aren't very good.
Yeah, but if there's not a rating available,
then people
are
just
really going to buy $1,000 bottle of
wine?
No,
but I just think those wines are generally, they're so good, they're generally not, you're not going to have a bad one. But every once in a while, you'll see expensive wines with like 92 or 93 ratings. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got wines with 92 ratings that are under $20. So why would you bother?
Why would you?
But you kind of do, again, have to kind of search around. But again, what I was going to say is, these wines have not just a single 90 or 90 plus rating, but like multiple 90 plus ratings.
Oh, wow.
And so maybe all of the raters or reviewers are crazy, or maybe that just means that these are, you know, very good wines.
We'll find out.
Yeah, but I don't see that very often. So I was pretty intrigued by that.
Hmm.
Okay, so the first wine we're going to try is called Chateau Prieux de Bézac. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Mm. All of these are chateaus. They're all chateaus.
Oh, wow.
And it's from the Omadoc region. Again, hot Madoc is what it looks like, but it's pronounced Omadoc.
Omadoc. Oh, my gosh. I think it's a joke.
Omadoc. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this wine has a bit of age on it. It's a 2018. And my recommendation, and also the recommendation from a lot of the wineries, et cetera, is that they'll do a little bit better if you let them sit around a while. Like, don't drink them right away. If you get a 20, like today, if you were to get a 2022 or 2023, I might try and hold on to that wine a little bit if you can.
Okay.
And the other thing is you should give them time to breathe. They suggest that you open them up. In fact, the winery in this wine says you should let it breathe for a few hours. So I actually opened up these bottles of wine almost 45 minutes ago.
Okay.
And so they're getting a little bit of air in them. So hopefully that will help. By the way, this wine is 60% Merlot and 40% Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay.
Now, I've also seen this wine referred to as a cru bourgeois,
ooh,
right? Which is a term I had never actually heard before.
No.
So, yeah. So most of you out there in listening land, and Carmella, you probably know that cru is well, what it literally means, cru literally means C-R-U. It literally means growth. But in wine, or French wine, it refers to a really, really good growing area. Mm. So in Burgundy, Grand Cru is the best wine. And just below it is Premier Cru, which sometimes is referred to, or you see it as like one-er cru. It's like the number one and the E-R after it. Mm. But that's Premier Cru. So it's pretty simple. Grand Cru, Premier Cru in Burgundy. Bordeaux, more complex. So in Bordeaux, the top wines are generally Grand Cru Classé, although in the Médoc and Graves regions, Premier Cru Classé is at the top.
Oh.
And in Saint-Emilion, the highest level is Premier Grand Cru Classé.
Wow.
Okay,
this
so...
just confuse everybody.
This is why French wines are so confusing.
I see.
Because okay. depending on... where, like, the chateau, the region, the area, the sub-appellation, you really just need to know stuff, and that's what makes it really hard. So, again, so back to Cru Bourgeois. So, Cru Bourgeois refers to some wine areas in the Médoc region of Bordeaux that were not originally classified when the French defined the Cru Classés in 1855. So, Cru Bourgeois are considered to be high quality, but a step below the very top Cru Classé.
Mm.
Again, whatever. It's just another indication, again, of how complicated
wow.
French wines are. And then also I talked about this because I needed a little bit of a distraction because there wasn't a lot else to talk about these wines because I couldn't find this wine because I couldn't find out a lot of information about it. So let's go on to the next one.
But how were the ratings on this one?
Well, we'll get, I was going to talk about it in a second, but it got a 92 from Vinius, a 92 from Decanter, and a 91 from James Suckey Suckling.
Boy.
So the next wine we're going to drink and review is called Château de Mille Anges, which translates to Castle of a Thousand Angels.
Oh.
How about that?
Love it.
So this wine is 2016 vintage. Oh. So it's got a lot of age on it
right.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The wine is also 60% Merlot, but it's 25% Cabernet Sauvignon and 15% Cabernet Franc. And that's basically the composition of their vineyards. Okay. In other words, this chateau grows about 60% Merlot, about 25% Cabernet Sauvignon, and about 15% Cabernet Franc. That's how their vineyard goes,
okay.
and that's how they do also do their blends. That's not always the case, but that's how they do their blends. The name of this wine is based on the location in Graves, which at one time held the convent of the Sisters of the Assumption.
Oh, wow.
And the nuns actually grew the grapes, which were used to make the wine for both mealtime and for mass.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're having pretty good wine at
They like
at the
their wine.
That's right.
Those sisters. I like that.
Yes. And those sisters, they also taught children, evidently. So they made wine and taught kids. Hopefully not, you know, drinking
at
wine and
time.
Teaching kids at the same time.
Right. You never know.
Maybe they...
When was this?
This is before World War II because... By World War II, they closed up shop. They sent the nuns away.
They said, this is not working for us.
They didn't. You guys, you're too much drinking and teaching kids. Although, if you've ever taught, which Carmela and I have, sometimes it would be nice to have a glass
True.
Of wine.
Might take the edge off.
Yeah. Now, in 1994, the chateau was purchased by its current owners, but evidently they've been making wine at this winery or this chateau for over 300 years.
Oh, wow.
Now, I also couldn't find out too much about this wine, but from looking at Wine Spectator vintage charts, 2016 was supposed to be a good year in Bordeaux. And you can find the link to the Wine Spectator vintage charts in our show notes. And they listed the 2016 Left Bank as a 97 rating. So that's a high rating, which is very high. And just for reference, 2018 got a 96 rating. And 2019, which our last wine is from, got a 93 rating.
Okay.
So on to our last wine on that note. The last wine is from 2019, as I just mentioned, and it's called Chateau Beaumont. And it's also from Au Médoc.
Au Médoc.
Oh my God.
Is a joke.
Mm-hmm. The pictures of the chateau on the website, Carmela, I will have to say, were stunning.
Oh.
And there's a link in our show notes to that too. And
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And they say they've been making wines there for about 200 years.
Mm.
I will say, like, someday we will go to wine region in France. And I do want to see some of these chateaus because they are
beautiful. Probably.
They are so beautiful.
I'm sure.
Now, these folks, they did have a tech sheet, which makes me really happy. I love to see these technical sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I have a link in our show notes. And they say the summer of 2019 was one of the hottest and driest in a century.
Wow.
But that there was also some rainfall right before harvest, which they said was a good thing. And this wine is a blend of 53% Cabernet Sauvignon, 45% Merlot, and 2% Petit Verdot.
Okay.
Now, they don't talk much about the production, but on the website, it's really interesting to see how each year the blend is a little different, mm-hmm. which again makes French wines confusing because it's not like every year they have the same blend. So in 2018, it was 45% Cabernet Sauvignon, 47% Merlot, so more Merlot that year, and 8% Petit Verdot.
So is it because they just had better Merlot grapes?
Yeah, there's something about the way that the grapes grew and the way the blend tasted. They decided that the right taste for the wine, they do try to be consistent with the taste for their wine.
Sure.
But they just felt that the right taste for the wine was to blend things differently. And then like in 2020, the blend was 51% Cabernet Sauvignon, 41% Merlot, and 8% Petit Verdot. So every year they're changing the blend and in, you know, not so minor ways. So again, super interesting. And again, why French wines can be super tricky and why I hope this episode is a good one and people like it, because so I'd like to do this again.
A second one.
Yeah. But I think it's time to find out if these reasonably priced and highly rated wines are really Bordeaux bargains.
Okay.
Because after all, Carmela, we are the judges.
I mean, in our own right.
That's right. We will be the ones who judge it. So we're going to take a super quick break and we're going to taste our first Bordeaux.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. I will say, Carmel, I kind of feel like this has been a little bit of a nerdy episode, but that's okay. I like it.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Maybe it's as nerdy as they've ever been. Okay. Just because it's been a lot of like learning stuff.
Sure. Well, you like edumacation.
I do like edumacation. Okay. So this first wine is called the Château Prieur de Beyzac, B-E-Y-Z-A-C. It's from Haut-Médoc, France.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. 2018, it was 14, is the year. It was $14.99 at wine.com. It's 14% alcohol. Again, it's 60% Merlot and 40% Cabernet Sauvignon. And again, Vinius gave it a 92. Decanter gave it a 92. And James Sucky Suckling gave it a 91. But
and the whole back is in French.
Oh, it's in France.
Yes, it must be. Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay, what are you smelling?
Well, I'm getting some smoke.
You know, it smells, this to me is like red wine. It smells red wine, which is a dumb thing to say, but it's very classic smell.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know, though, if it's like a plum.
I think it's plum.
Yeah. But yes, red wine. It smells like red wine.
I think it's plum. I think it's dark cherry.
Okay. It's very pretty.
It's very pretty. Mm-hmm. I think there is smoke. I think there's a little bit of like pencil on it. A
little bit of lead.
Mm-hmm. And I think a little bit of like rose. You know, they say like tar and roses is Barolo, mm-hmm. but I kind of get a little bit of like tar, like a little bit of tar and a little bit of rose on this. It's very nice.
I like it.
Deep, like it's got a deep,
very rich.
Complex smell. Okay, mm-hmm. well, let's try it.
I don't know. It's still, I think it's still kind of plummy to me.
It's very plummy. Mm-hmm. It's very tannic. Like yes, I'm getting that, like, I can taste the grape skins. Mm-hmm. Super tannic.
It's very much sticking to your tongue.
Mm-hmm. But it's pretty smooth. It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's kind of got a round, soft, kind of supple.
Super fruity. It's not a punch you in the face. I mean, there's flavor and richness, but I don't think it's too, it's not so full-bodied that you're getting blown out of the water.
No, I agree. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's got some tobacco. I feel like it's got tobacco on it. Okay. Like tobacco that's been smoked, like pipe tobacco.
And even with that little bit of like, you know how sometimes there's that sweetness on the tobacco?
Yeah, yep.
I can taste that a bit.
Yeah, it's a lot. To me, it's a lot of plum. I'm not getting as many like berries on it. Mm-mm. And it's kind of grapey. I will say it's like a little grapey, which sounds dumb, but I think
a little grape juice.
Yeah, it's got grapiness to it.
Yeah. I would say that makes sense.
So what food would you pair with this wine?
Oh, I think you would want to do something like a nice steak.
Yeah.
Something juicy. And I think this would be a nice like steak and potato, mm-hmm. you know, even like a roasted potato, something like that.
A stew, a roast, right. Something like big and meaty and mm-hmm. would be really good with this wine.
Yes, for sure. A roast would be nice. Yeah. It's kind of a wintry or fall wine.
I think so too. It is very much a food wine. To me, it's a food wine because although it's tannic, it also has some good acidity and it kind of, it does stick around, but it also is clean. Like it doesn't have this like, it doesn't have
an aftertaste. No. It's not lingering, but it does stick to the tongue kind of.
Yeah. So actually, I think it'd be an excellent food wine. Hmm. It's quite good. I mean, I know we're not kind of like going crazy with like some of the flavors and tastes. It's a super smooth wine.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
It's kind of, to me, this is kind of elegant. It's kind of warm and round. It's not harsh. It's not hot. It's not sharp. It's a really well balanced, this is a balanced wine.
Right, I agree. Yeah. And I do think it's one that everybody would like if you're having a dinner party.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, just entertain, you're right. It's more, I mean, it's not like overly formal, but it could be a very elegant wine for a dinner party for sure.
I think so too. So let's rate this wine. So as a reminder on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, where 7 and above means that we would buy it, and 4 or below means we're going to pour it down the sink, and a 5 or 6 means, eh, it's okay, we'll drink it, and we'll probably finish it, but we're not going to buy it.
Right.
So what rating would you give this wine?
Well, you know, I mean, even though I'm enjoying it, I think it's a nice wine. I'm probably, it's not something I'm going to be drinking, but I would buy it. Like if we were, you know, having a party or a dinner party or friends over or even having family over, I would share it. I'd buy it. Yeah, I'm giving it a 7.
Okay. I'm giving it at least an 8.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to start at an 8. Okay. I might go up to 9.
You like this.
It's a very good wine.
Okay, that's great.
It is a very good wine. It's, again, very well balanced. It's kind of elegant. It's smooth. To me, this is the classic difference between an old world wine and an American, like California wine, where it's just smoother and more mellow. It's more balanced. It's more like...
more of a food wine, like you said.
It's a food wine, yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break and we're going to try our next wine.
Okay,
we are back and we are on to our next wine, another really pretty wine in the glass. This is the Château de Mille Anges. Again, a million or a thousand angels. This is from Saint-Germain-des-Graves, France.
Wow.
This is the 2016. It was also $14.99. Got it at wine.com. 14.3% alcohol. And this one, again, is 60% Merlot, 25% Cabernet Sauvignon, and 15% Cabernet Franc. And James Sucky Suckling gave this a 91, and Decanter gave it a 90. But what are you smelling?
I think this one's much sweeter smelling. Yes, I think it's more fruitier. Like jammy, a little stewed fruit, like stewed cherries. Yeah, I feel like there's a little more sweetness on this.
Yeah, right off the bat, I was like berries. I'm smelling berries. It was sweeter. Mm-hmm. It was
even
fruitier.
Like a blueberry almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good call. Hmm. Ooh, blueberry's a good one. I'm thinking also like...
there's a little bit of currant on it.
That's what I was going to say, currant.
Really?
It's got currant on it. I was thinking that.
Dried fruit. Like something that's kind of sugary.
Dried fruit is good.
A little sugary.
Almost like a dried cranberry or dried currant is good. A dried blueberry. To me, it's berry. It's got berry on it. Mm-hmm. A little bit less... it's got a little bit of cherry. I do think it's got cherry on it, but it's a sweet cherry.
Right. Like a cordial. Like a cherry cordial.
It doesn't have as much like smoke, or it doesn't really have that like leather or tar or anything on it. It's got like a skosh of smoke. I can actually smell barrel on it.
Oh, okay.
But like, so it's like wood, but it doesn't taste smoky or smell smoky to me.
Like a fresh barrel.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm being serious. Yeah. No, I'm being serious. Like fresh wood. Okay, well, let's taste it and see what we think.
Oh, wow. You know...
what is that taste?
I don't know. The first sip, it did taste a lot like it smelled, but it's almost a little bit more like vinegary. I mean, not in a bad way, but a little...
like balsamic.
Yeah, something kind of syrupy.
To me, it's got a lot of berries on it.
Balsamic is kind of interesting. It kind of does have a little bit of that richness of balsamic.
It's tart. It's got a little tartness on it, but it's warm. It's like this... I can't quite tell what the taste is. I think you're right. I think it's... dried. It's a dried fruit. It's almost like a raisin or a cranberry or a dried blueberry or a currant. It's quite like it's quite tart, but then it ends up kind of warm and smooth and sugary.
had a little bit of baking spices on it too.
I agree. And I'm really liking this idea of dried fruit.
Yeah.
I think it tastes like a dried fruit.
Because it has a little bit of sugared taste to it.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. It's not as, I don't think it's as
candied,
warm.
Like a candy.
Candied. Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't think it's as warm as the last one, the first one. I don't think it's as complex as the first one. It's nice in that it cleans off the tongue. I think it'd be
not
good
as
with
tannic,
food.
For sure.
It's not as tannic, and I think it would be good with food. But it's a different type of wine. Like to me, it's a little bit more almost like Italian wine than a French wine.
Uh-huh.
What food might you have with the Chateau de Millet-Aulnier?
Well, I think a lot of the same, but you could also do a nice like pasta dish, a tomato mm-hmm. sauce.
I think so too.
Like a bolognese. Pizza would be good. It doesn't have to be, it's not quite as like formal or elegant tasting. I think it can be a little more like at a pizzeria having it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's it. I think you could have like red meat with it. I think you could do stews, but it's not as warm, again, like it's not as warm around as that first one. So I'm thinking maybe more pasta dishes, lasagnas, those kinds of things might be more appropriate, which again is why I'm thinking like why it tastes a little bit to me more like an Italian wine.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's different than the other one.
I can't quite put my finger on it. I keep trying to taste it, but it's berries. It's like a blueberry.
I think so.
And it's got like a blueberry on it. Okay. What rating are you going to give this wine?
I'm going to probably stick with the 7 on this one, too.
Mm-hmm.
All of these, I mean, both of them I'm enjoying. They're different enough from each other, and I would buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm 7.
I'm giving this one a 7 as well. It's a close 7. Like, I'm on the verge of a 6 on it.
Mm.
I like it. Of the two, I would buy the first one 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
But this is not a bad wine. And if we had started with it, I think we would like it quite a bit. I just think compared to the first one, I don't like it quite as much. But it's a nice wine.
There's not as much depth to it.
No, but it's a nice wine. I mean, don't get us wrong. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to try our last wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our last wine. This is the Chateau Beaumont. It's very easy. Chateau Beaumont. Mm-hmm. It's also from Haut-Médoc, France.
Haut-Médoc.
It's a 2019. It was our most expensive at $16.99. I also got it at wine.com. It's only 13.5% alcohol, which doesn't sound like, well, that's not that much. But for, I think, a Bordeaux red wine like this, that's not a ton. It's 53% Cabernet Sauvignon, 45% Merlot, and 2% Petit Verdot. And listen to all the professional ratings on this one. James Suckling, 92. Wine Enthusiast, 92. Decanter, 90. Jeb Dunnick, 90. Robert Parker, 90. So that's 5 ratings above 90. So, Carmela, what are you smelling on this wine?
Wow. First scent was not great. I don't know. It smelled a little... I'm getting wood.
Yeah. It's very oaky. To me, it's super oaky, which makes me a little bit suspicious because Robert Parker rated it. And he loves oaky, overly oaky wines. He likes the California wines, and so does Suckling.
Okay. I mean, I am getting a little bit of like cranberry maybe on it. It's a little bit more bitter smelling.
It's harsher to me. Yeah. It's a little bit astringent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that like kind of alcohol-y smell?
Yep, I agree.
It's got a plum. It's got a little bit of cherry, but it's kind of sharp smelling to me.
Right, right. And it's a little bit sharper, tart, and that's why I'm kind of like a cranberry, not even like a dried cranberry, almost like a fresh cranberry that you really didn't mean to eat.
Yeah, I'm with you. Definitely if you swirl it, I'm getting that smoke. I'm getting that lead, pencil lead. Mm-hmm. I'm getting that leather when you swirl it.
Yeah, I almost feel like it smells better if you don't swirl it, though.
Yeah, but I think you're getting definitely, like, when you swirl it, you get the oak barrel.
Yeah.
I mean you're totally getting...
I actually like it when it settles, I think, a bit.
I agree. And we've had this open for almost an hour, over an hour now. So it's not like it's the youngest of the three, but we've had it open for a while.
Right. I don't know.
Well, let's try. It's a little bit grapey on the smell again.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's pretty tart, but it does.
Kind of salty.
It is a little salty. It's almost licorice-y.
Like black licorice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not what I expected it to be. It's smoother in the mouth than the smell. I'm getting smoothness on it. You're not getting quite as much
not
smoothness?
Really. I don't know. Not as smooth as the first one.
No.
And not the second one either. I'm finding it a little touch offensive. Not offensive, but just like, I don't know. I got to try it again.
Try it again. I'm getting red fruit on it. Maybe, but like a berry. I'm getting berries.
It's tart, like maybe a raspberry. Mm-hmm. Like almost a brambly taste too.
Ooh, it's earthy. I agree. It's got earthy or vegetal. It's got like a, in fact, now that you say that, the first smell I got was kind of a vegetal smell, like grassy kind of smell, or like you said, the bramble, like the leaves of a berry plant or something.
Yeah, this is very tannic too.
Very tannic. It's not as warm as the first one.
No.
It's not as round. You can tell, I think, it's Cabernet forward. Because it just kind of has, the first two were a little bit more Merlot forward. This one does have that Cabernet forward. And I find that Cabernet is that punchier kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. And that's what's in this wine. It's punchier. To me, it's, don't you feel like?
Punchy. You know, you feel punchy.
Yeah. When you punch me in the face. No, but don't you get what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's sharper.
But it's not very fruity. Like, I feel like there's not as much fruit on it as you would expect.
On the back end of it, I am getting like a stone and like something like a tar on it. Okay. Like it's got a little bit of like tobacco or something on the back end of it.
Maybe a little earth too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clay or something. That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What food would you have with this wine?
Well,
again, I think you need food.
You need food with this guy. Yeah. I think I think again, even like a burger. Something meaty, something red meat would be what you need to pair with this.
Yeah, I think so. I drank it again. I'm getting flowers.
Really?
I'm getting floral, like rosy kind of, but some other kind of flower.
Hmm.
Like I'm getting something flowery on it. But I agree. I mean, I think it's a meat wine. It's a red meat wine. It's a grilled food wine.
Mm-hmm.
It would, you know, you could do it with, I think, pastas again and those kinds of things. But I think you want kind of more of a, you know, beef stroganoff,
yeah,
or you want
not
some
as
nice
elegant.
Stew.
You want something, heavier. It's a comfort. I mean, definitely you want something comfort food with it.
Yeah. I'm getting pencil. I think that's the aftertaste. Okay. It's like pencil lead.
Okay.
Hmm. It's kind of a little bit sharp. It's almost got a little metal kind
Maybe,
of taste at the
yes.
end.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I keep talking about the taste. It's which means, you know, I'm like thinking about it and I'm contemplating it. Mm-hmm. But what rating would you give this wine, Carmela?
You know, gosh, I was like, first right away, I was like, I'm giving this a 5. But
really?
Yeah, just not liking it a ton. I mean, now I'm bordering on a 5-6 and I know I can't do that.
Oh, so you're not a 7 at all. No, you're not a buy.
If we're going to be looking at the 3 of these as like comparable, I mean, they're, you know, no.
Okay.
So I think I am going to give
But I mean, relative to them, you're saying you like it less, but you, even so, you wouldn't buy it.
I don't think so.
Okay. Fair.
I'll give it a 6 because I'll definitely finish it.
Okay. I'm giving it a 7.
Okay.
I'm toying with an 8.
Really?
Like I don't dislike it as much as you do. I like it.
Are we drinking the same bottle of wine?
We are. It's not quite my style, but there's something about it that's interesting. I'm going to stick with a 7.
Okay.
I would buy it. I would serve it.
Mm.
I'm going back and giving the first wine a 9.
Oh, wow.
I just really think that's an excellent wine. Okay. And for the price, $14.99 from Bordeaux, Omadoc. Mm. Omadoc.
Thank God, Omadoc.
I think it's an excellent wine. And of the three, is definitely the best. Okay. So on that note, which of these wines are you, and I think we're going to like have a arm wrestling, but which of these wines are you finishing tonight? And actually, you might not finish either of them, or any of them, but if you had a choice, what would you choose?
I think I would go with the first one.
Yeah, the Chateau Prieur de Bézac.
Actually, for me, the second one was kind of nice too, but the first one.
Okay.
I know for you.
Yeah, I'm going with
the
first one.
You're going with the third one.
Yeah, yeah. No, the first
one.
Well, and then on that, before we talk about the taste profiles, just your vote. I think, do we do another Bordeaux bargain?
I think you already said we were going to.
I think
this was the first one, the first annual.
Okay, but if I hadn't put the first annual, would you have said there should be a second annual?
I think there's more out there that we need to explore.
I 100% think so. And this has been all like left bank wines. Like we should try wines if we can find good ones from like other parts of Bordeaux, because then we learn more about it too. But
for
I'm with you. I think We'll do another one.
And when we go there, we'll just be full of knowledge.
You gotta go there, Carmela.
I'm ready.
Okay, so this is the general taste profile of Bordeaux wine, especially from the Haut-Médoc region. Blackberry, currant, licorice, spices, mint.
Ah, mint.
Now, the Chateau Prieur de Bézac, Vinia said, a really lovely bouquet of perfumed red cherries and wild strawberry and well-integrated oak. Palate is medium-bodied with fine tannins, pinpoint acidity, and great precision towards the finish. Decanter said, sweet red cherry and vanilla nose, energy, tannic weight, freshness, and very glossy fruit and oak on the palate. And James Suckling said, stewed blackberries. You were getting stewed fruits. Dark violets, walnuts, and dark chocolate. I don't know. I got nuts.
It's funny. I never think of like tannic with smooth. Or no, what did he say about the tannic?
Well, the decanter said fresh and very glossy fruit.
Oh, glossy and tannic. Oh, just didn't. That's a weird combination.
I agree. And then, but James Suckling also said chewy and structured. I agree with that. So I don't know that I agree with all of his tastes, but the stewed blackberries, like you talked about a stewed fruit. So there you go.
Yeah, mostly though in the second one, I think.
Well, let's go to the second one. Okay. Chateau de Millet-Aulnay. The winery says, on the nose, this wine reveals red fruit aromas with notes of mocha and cashews. Again, with nuts. Silky tannin, spicy notes. Well-balanced. Finish is long, well-balanced with fruity flavor, spicy, and light oak. James Suckling said, there's a pretty fruit tension to this wine with hints of tannin and acidity, shows freshness and depth. And Decanter said, fresh blackberry fruit lifted by a charming leafy edge, then dark cherries coming forward on an admirably long palate.
Oh my gosh.
Did we get any of that?
Well, not. We did. I said baking spices.
Yeah.
And they were saying spicy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blackberry was one thing we didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, a little bit different.
Was that one where we were saying blueberries?
Yeah, we had a lot of every.
We were getting berries.
We were getting a lot of dried candy.
Dried. That's right. That was the dried one.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Okay, Chateau Beaumont. There's a whole bunch here. James Suckling said, full and plush, medium to full body, lots of blackberries, fresh herbs, and red currants.
Okay.
Wine enthusiast. Fine, elegant wine, black fruits, a hint of chocolate, dense, dry, but never excessive. Cantor says, carefully extracted and well-balanced cassis fruits.
Ah.
Dark pepper, rosemary spices, controlled tannins, fresh acidities. Jeb Denick said black cherries, plums, Asian spices, sandalwood notes.
Last time I licked sandalwood.
But I mean, we were getting a lot of wood, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nicely concentrated, good depth of fruit and juicy acidity. I don't know about depth of fruit.
Hmm.
And Parker said baked plums, black currant pastille, that's like a candy, and fruitcake. With suggestions of damp soil, cardamom, and fried herbs.
Oh, interesting.
But I think fried we were getting herbs. Some of these, like, damp soil. I think we were getting some of these.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Chewy tannins, lively acidity supporting the black fruit preserves flavors.
Black fruit. What's that, like a blackberry?
Yeah. Oh. Or cherries or, like, darker fruits, but preserves. Because weren't you coming up with some of that, too?
A little bit. We were talking about it being jammy and some stewed fruits. Mm-hmm. And
And then he said, finishing with an herbal lift.
Ah.
We were getting...
Well, we both talked about earth and grass and vegetable.
Yeah, and so I think that came out.
Yeah.
Well, I think we did okay.
Oh, for sure.
But when you have 15 million people reviewing a wine, you're going to get some different flavors on
it.
And so there you go. But again, thank you for listening to our first annual Bordeaux Bargains Number One. It won't even be annual. It'll be more common than that.
Okay.
Every quarter. Every three or 4 months.
Seriously?
We got to fit it in there.
Okay.
So I think it's important.
Whatever you say.
Okay. Well, Carmela, it's time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so, please subscribe. Please leave us a nice rating and review. We would really appreciate that. We'd love to hear from you. So you can send me an email. Send us an email at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. You can visit our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and leave us a message and join our email newsletter there. And tell us about wines you want us to try or regions you want us to try or anything like that. We love to hear from you. We want to create content that you care about. But with that, we're going to sign off. So we want to thank you again, and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short. So stop a drinking. And that's Italian. That's not French. Stop drinking. Shit, the wine. Ha ha, au revoir.
Wow.
Bye bye.
Bye.
And the happy ending at the end of our story. Always think too much. Always drink too much. Always bring too much.